This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Life is not 24 and Jack Bauer.
Jesus was too smart to ever run for public office, Anderson. That's what Jesus would do.
So I would say he had sanctuary mansion, not just sanctuary city.
All right.
I oppose torture. I would not be in favor of torture in any way, shape, or form.
Is waterboarding torture?
And as I just said, as a presidential candidate, I don't think it's wise for us to describe specifically which measures we would and would not use.
Yes, but as a radio host, I think it's wise to describe those measures. Welcome to the weekend, everybody. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and you've made it to the Russ Belville Show, your weekend home for live progressive talk on the XM Satellite Network, Channel 167, and a terrestrial station near you. Our phone number here is 866-5577-377, and this is all about you, folks. It's all about our country, America, and what we've got to do to take it back from these neocon thugs and return America to its position of moral authority and standing in the world. We've got a lot of things to look at for today's show, so there'll be plenty to discuss. And if you're shy, you can always send me an email. I know how some of you are. You might be driving, don't want to talk on the phone. Well, when you get a chance, send me an email. The email address is radicalruss@gmail.com. And I know that a lot of you out there are a lot like me. You know, I'm just a regular guy. When I'm not here on the weekends doing my talk radio show, I have a regular, full-time, 8-to-5 job just like the rest of you. So, you know, we don't always have time to catch up on the latest news and read the newspaper and all of that. So, at the top of the Russ Belville Show, I help you catch up on the week's hottest news topics with
The Week in 90 Seconds.
The latest CNN YouTube debate asks the Republicans the tough questions about pressing issues.
Somebody who can lead.
Do you believe every word of this book?
You rooted for the Red Sox in the postseason.
A troubled man takes hostages at Hillary Clinton's New Hampshire campaign office.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
70s daredevil Evel Knievel dies at age 69 from natural causes.
For the day I die, I'm a Texas guy.
Chief Executive Bush wants his blank check for more war in Iraq, but also wants to slash counterterrorism funds here at home.
Without strings and without delay.
Housing prices have dropped by 7% and will cost America $1.2 trillion in property values. Are those Bush tax cuts helping yet? Former Republican Senator Majority Leader Chester Trent Lott is the 6th GOP senator to call it quits this year.
Aboard Pascagoula, Mississippi has been quite a wild ride, but a very enjoyable one, and one that I'm proud of.
Rudy 9/11 Giuliani was having sex on the city, misappropriating New York taxpayer money to fund cheating on his second wife with his now third wife. Ah, family values.
Hello, dear. I love you, and I'll give you a call as soon as I'm finished, okay?
Oh, I love that scandal breaking there. Yeah, your Republicans with their family values. They're always accusing us on the left of being the moral relativists. Yeah, and then you get somebody like Giuliani in there, who's gonna prove us all wrong. So we got plenty to talk about that Giuliani scandal, Trent Lott resigning. Also, there's some breaking news here on the weekend. I just picked up off the CNN wire that the Democratic leaders have stripped the state of Michigan of its delegates for the upcoming Democratic nomination for president. Apparently, Michigan violated their agreement or whatever and decided to have their primaries earlier. And the Democrats didn't want them to do that. And so as a punishment, they're going to lose their delegates there to the convention. So I'm wondering if anyone out there from the state of Michigan is listening in, how you feel about that? How you feel about your Michigan Democratic Party? Were they right to do that? Should they have moved their primary up? I mean, you're kind of losing your voice in this whole Democratic nomination process. A whole state kind of losing its delegates. That's got to hurt, I imagine. But of course, I want to get to the other stories in the news too. Y'all know that I'm a pretty big football fan, a big fan of the Green Bay Packers. the greatest football team of all time, 12-time world champions. Also a big fan of my Boise State Broncos, Go Broncos, Fiesta Bowl champions. So this week hasn't been very good for me. Unfortunately, my Broncos lost up in Hawaii against the Warriors. Warriors did it. And we lost, Packers lost against the Cowboys the other night on Thursday night with Brett Favre getting injured. So not my favorite football week, that's for sure. And, you know, speaking of football, boy, you saw this case with that that kid from the Washington racial slurs. You know, the football team that plays in Washington that has the Native American on their helmet as a mascot. Yeah, I call them the Washington racial slurs. Anyway, this Sean Taylor, 24 years old, shot in his own home following apparently some problems that he'd been having with some former friends that had busted into his place like 8 days earlier, I think it was, something like that. Anyway, he died of the injuries from the gunshot wounds to his leg. It cut his femoral artery, and he bled out. And it's just, you know, the NFL these days, man, what is going on? I mean, we got this guy getting shot. You got Ricky Williams in and out of the league for failing his substance abuse tests on marijuana. And you got guys that are, you know, beating their wives and getting shot up in strip clubs. I mean, remember when steroids was the big deal? It seems almost quaint now, doesn't it? Yeah, steroids. And that Ricky Williams deal. Kicking the guy out of the league for smoking pot. Like what? Like that's a performance-enhancing drug? like he can somehow run better, or he has an advantage over the other players if he's using weed? No, of course that's not it. It's this whole deal about the, we gotta send the right message to the children. And apparently the message to the children is, if you don't take the approved pharmaceutical drugs for your stress and anxiety, then you can't play football. So that's what's going on there. But you know, this isn't a football show. This isn't a sports show. This is about politics. So let's get into the politics that have happened this week. And of course, the big story there would be that GOP debate that they had from the whole YouTube thing, right? The YouTube GOP debate. And I was really interested to watch this. I was really interested to see what the Republican candidates would have to say to me as a liberal, as a progressive. You know, they need to be running for president of the United States, not just president of the Republican Party. And so what are they going to say to me? You know, I've got a lot of concerns out there. I'm really concerned about the environment. You know, I'm really concerned about our economy that's, you know, going down the tubes. The U.S. dollar is trading at, you know, it's £2 to the dollar or something like that, $2 to the pound, and against the euro and the Canadian dollar. We're just, our economy's plummeting. We've got all the problems with the environment, and we've got the global warming that's taking place, and oh, don't even get me started on healthcare. Oh, the healthcare issues in America. All these huge issues that are in front of us as Americans. And let's turn to the GOP and see what kind of questions they get asked.
Grand old party's looking for somebody who can lead, someone who is electable and adheres to our creed. Some say the group is not diverse. They're white, they're men, but wait. The Dems have just one candidate. Republicans have eight.
All right, that's enough of that. Yeah, the singer question. Nothing like starting a debate off on a serious tone, right? And so as this debate went on, you know, we did not at all hear anything about the issues that Americans care about. Not one bit. Did you, if you watched that debate, did you hear any of them talking about health care? Not a single mention about health care in that whole debate. Did you hear anyone out there talking about the economy? Yeah, that was what we got from the Republicans on the economy or the environment, you know? Is it, what's happening with our environment? Yeah. Now, it's nice that we still have crickets. I mean, who knows what'll happen after the planet warms up. Maybe they'll die out too. So 35 minutes. This is, I timed this because I have to, you know, collect all the audio clips and such. I timed it, and the first 35 minutes of this two-hour debate, well over 25% of this debate, all boiled down to the invading brown menace. Oh, the invading brown menace, the Hispanics, the Mexicans that are coming to take our jobs. Yeah, 35 minutes on immigration. Is anyone out there really that concerned about immigration? Really? Is this really the most pressing thing going on in your life right now? Like, when you're wondering about how you're going to pay for your heating oil up there in the Northeast this year, with oil, you know, approaching $100 a barrel, are you really worried about the Mexican guy who's cutting grass over at the local corporate park? I mean, is that really bugging you? I don't think so. And when they talk about, well, we got to secure our borders. Well, you know that the 1911 hijackers didn't come through Mexico, right? You know that, right? They came through Canada. Nobody seems to be talking much about building a fence with Canada. How come we don't have Duncan Hunter up there talking about building a 4,000-mile fence, or I guess a 3,000-mile fence with Canada? You don't hear so much about that, do you? It's always the Mexicans coming to get our jobs. Well, when we come back from the break, I got plenty of GOP debate clips, and we'll take your calls, too, at 866-55-77-377. This is the Russ Belville Show, live on the weekends.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Yes, it is, and it's 21 after the hour on this fabulous first weekend of December. Glad to have you here on the show. 2 hours of fun and frolic, talking about politics from a left-wing perspective and broadcasting here from the free speech zone that we call America. Well, at least it's still a free speech zone. Who knows if Giuliani gets elected. Anyway, we want to go to the phones here. I had mentioned that we had some breaking news here this weekend. I just picked this up here this morning of how the Democratic Party, the leadership of the Democratic Party, is going to penalize the state of Michigan. They're going to penalize the state of Michigan because Michigan went against an agreement, I guess, that there wouldn't be any more earlier primaries than the ones that we're going to have upcoming in, well, I think it's 4 weeks now, in the beginning of January. And Michigan went and moved their primary up earlier, and so the Democratic Party has removed Michigan's delegates. They're not going to allow Michigan's delegates to have a say in the choice of the Democratic nominee for president. So I gave a shout-out to the people of Michigan, wanted to have a call, see if someone could give me more details on this, and we got someone on the line. This is Earl from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Earl, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, Russ. How you doing? Great show.
Doing great.
I'm furious about this. I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate disenfranchisement. You know, I don't know if it was Mark Brewer, the chairman of the Democratic Party in Michigan, that made this move, but, you know, four of the top candidates, excluding Hillary, opted out of even being on the ballot. So to show up on January 15th would be nothing more than an exercise in futility, unless Hillary's your candidate.
Yeah, not here, not on this show, that's for sure. But that's a good point, Earl, and we got to look at why would Michigan do something like that? What's behind Michigan's motivation there, do you think?
Well, I think they're trying to be more relevant. I don't know if you're aware, but Michigan is in very dire straits right now. Our economy is in the toilet. I believe we lead the nation in unemployment right now. Of course, we rely heavily on the auto industry and manufacturing, and we all know those guys are being sent to third world and low-wage countries, but I believe they were trying to be more relevant in selecting the president. You know, I mean, why should Iowa and New Hampshire always lead the way? I mean, on the one hand, I could understand that, but I like I said at the top of my comments, this is the ultimate disenfranchisement when they take a state of 9 million people and say that your vote, you know, is going to be irrelevant.
Earl, absolutely, you win. Our nail on the head award for the day, because that is absolutely true. You know, I've had a problem with this whole primary system for a long time, and Earl, I think you nailed it when you said, you know, Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, getting to be the first states here. Why do we have a system like that? Why do we have a system where we go state by state, and, you know, by the time, I'm living out here in Oregon, and by the time the primaries come around in Oregon, this is going to be a done deal. It's already going to be all wrapped up with a bow. There's no point in me even going to a primary for any particular reason. Is it time for us to change this primary system?
Well, I would suggest we change the entire system, including the Electoral College. That's another one. I mean, people on the West Coast can say, hey, you know, it's all wrapped up. The 272 delegates are there. There's no need for me to even go out and exercise. So that then a lot of referendums and other, lower ticket candidates suffer because of the current system right now. And
absolutely.
I think we should have some kind of a constitutional convention of like 1789 have something in the near future here and revamp the entire system and modernize it to the 21st century. And
absolutely.
I appreciate the time. I don't want to capitalize on your show. I'm going to hang up now and listen to the rest of the show. Thanks, Russ.
All right. Thank you, Earl. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, and if anybody else has an opinion on this, the phone number here is 866-5577-377. It's not just a phone number. It's an excellent hand in poker. But also, yeah, this whole primary thing, man, it's always bugged me that a bunch of corn farmers in Iowa and a bunch of people up in New Hampshire are going to make the major decisions. And then after that, I guess we got South Carolina that comes up there. And then there's the Super Tuesdays with the Florida and all of that. I just don't understand why the entire country can't have a say in picking who the two candidates are. This primary system is broken. We're going to have our primaries here starting up in January of 08. By the time we hit February, it's pretty much going to be settled. A lot of this, anyway, is going to be settled. And by the time March rolls around, we're going to have a full-blown campaign from March to November, or even worse, from January to November. Let's just be honest with it here. Are you ready for, like, what, 10 months, 11 months of nonstop politicking and ads? It's just ridiculous. We need to come up with a better system. Now, I have a few ideas. One of my ideas here is instead of having state-by-state primaries, we have a national primary system in the party, but we run it kind of like, let's run it like American Idol. Yeah, you know how everybody, okay, now bear with me. I know some of you are getting all peeved right now, but bear with me just a second. Everybody seems to be real into this whole American Idol thing. This idea that the whole country can call in and vote and choose a superstar. Yeah. So why can't we do the same thing with presidential politics? I say put all eight of them in a house, make them live together, like Big Brother, right? Get cameras on them. And then every month, every couple weeks, whatever, we have a national referendum where we vote on these people, and you're allowed to pick your top three. You get a vote for three people that you want in the top. And at the end of all that voting, whoever's got the fewest amount of votes at the end of the voting is kicked off the island. You know, like Survivor. Here, we got Survivor, Big Brother, and American Idol. We wrapped it all up, right? Vote them off, and then by the end of all that process, you'll end up with the one or two or three candidates toward September or October that everybody has decided are the best ones, and we've formed compromise on this issue rather than letting a couple or three states decide for the rest of us. It's just insane. And what Earl was saying about the Electoral College also rings true as well. Why do we allow the smaller populated states to have a disproportionate say in who we elect for president? You know, in Wyoming, they have six times as much say as the people of California if you go based on their Electoral College representation. So if you have any ideas to fix this primary process, please let me know. Phone number is 866-5577-377. The email address is radicalruss@gmail.com. And we come back from the news break at the bottom of the hour. We'll get back on track with that GOP debate. Got plenty of sound clips from that. We'll also take a look at Rudy Giuliani's Sex on the City. This is the Russ Belville Show. Videos that would, you know, try to put the Republicans in a corner about their homophobia or their xenophobia or their support of Bush programs, whatever it is, right? So they say they're gonna restrict any of the gotcha questions. Now, I don't know if you saw the Democratic YouTube debate, but there was about three or four gotcha questions in that debate. There was some guy in there saying, oh, if you Democrats get elected, are the taxes gonna go up like they always do? I mean, come on, total setup question. But regardless of the double standard employed by CNN, which all of the major media employ this double standard when it comes to Democrats and Republicans, got more on that coming up later. But anyway, they said this YouTube debate would be for the people. Okay, so you and me, the average people, the people who don't have much connection to Washington, and we don't often get the ear of our politicians, we finally get a chance to ask them a question. And what a joy that would be. So here's one of the questions that popped up on that GOP debate. Give it a listen.
President Bush made a commitment when he ran for president in 2000 and 2004 that he would oppose and veto any tax increase that Congress sent him. My question to each of the candidates is, would you promise to the the people watching this right now that you will oppose and veto any effort to raise taxes as long as you're president.
Okay, now that's a genuine question, asking about whether taxes would go up. Problem is, the guy asking the question. Yeah, the guy asking that question was Grover Norquist. Yeah, Grover Norquist, one of the authors of all the neocon agenda that we've been suffering through for the past 6 years and even before that. This is that Grover Norquist who famously said that he didn't want to kill government, he just wanted to make it small enough that he could drown it in a bathtub. You know, this anti-tax guy, Grover Norquist. Yeah, that good job, CNN, on vetting the questions there and letting this one get through. Yeah, let the people be part of the debate. Yeah, yeah, the average people like Grover Norquist. Another problem that CNN had on this debate, and this is where the righties were starting to spew some venom, had to do with a general who had sent in a question. General Kerr, a retired general, who sent in a question about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I'd love to play that clip for you. I think it's a great question. Problem is, CNN took that clip off of their official audio that they put up on the website. Yeah, they removed the clip. They censored the clip. Now, why did they censor the clip? Well, it turns out that this general happens to be the guy who Hillary Clinton appointed to be in charge of her gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexual task force. I don't think it's a tax force to engage in those things. I think it's to bring those people into the campaign. Maybe I didn't phrase that really well. Anyway, so since this guy was supposedly a Hillary Clinton supporter, that it was wrong for him to ask the question. Uh-huh. Yeah, so Grover Norquist, that's okay. We can have Grover Norquist, Mr. Anti-Tax, Mr. Support Bush, we can have that guy asking a question, but we can't have a guy who's tangentially related to the Hillary Clinton campaign. He can't ask the question. I'll read the question for you, though. I think it deserves reading. My name is Keith Kerr from Santa Rosa, California. I'm a retired brigadier general with 43 years of service, and I'm a graduate of the Special Forces Officer Course, the Commanding General Staff Course, and the Army War College. I'm also an openly gay man. I want to know why you think that the American men and women in uniform are not professional enough to serve with gays and lesbians. And that was the question they couldn't allow. Yeah, and of course all the GOP guys, they went nuts on this, kind of flip-flopping all around, trying to say that it was bad for unit cohesion, which, okay, so how did this general manage to rise in the ranks and command people if he couldn't keep his units together? How does that work? I'm not sure. And how is it that all the other Western democracies that have military have integrated their militaries with gays and lesbians and not really shown any problem? I mean, Israelis are allowed, Israeli gays are allowed to serve, British gays are allowed to serve, most of the European countries, gays are allowed to serve. You know, the old saying goes, you know, I don't care if you're gay or straight. I just want to know if you can shoot straight. That's the important part. That's what I want to know here. But, you know, gay, that's the old boogeyman. That's old time. Man, that's so 2004. Gosh, that's so old. Gay is not the big scary boogeyman anymore. It's the Mexicans. Oh, the Mexicans. Oh, those darn Mexicans coming across the border. Gay, or I'm sorry, Mexican is the new gay, and of course, gay was the new black. So, yeah, they found a new punching bag here in the supposed brown menace, the hordes that are coming to take our jobs. And these guys can't get out in front of this issue fast enough to explain how much more serious they would be about stopping the whole issue there. And let me just give you a clip here. This was Rudy Giuliani and Romney going after it. And of course the tag against Giuliani is that he had a sanctuary city in New York, right, where they would allow the children of illegal immigrants to go to school. Oh yeah, how terrible, letting kids go to school. And so this was Giuliani fighting back by bringing up the charge about Romney employing illegal immigrants.
So I would say he had sanctuary mansion, not just sanctuary city.
All right. So sanctuary mansion. Romney comes back with this one.
If you're a homeowner and you hire a company to come provide a service at your home, paint the home, put on the roof, if you hear someone that's working out there, not that you've employed, but that the company has, if you hear someone with a funny accent, you as a homeowner are supposed to go out there and say, I want to see your papers. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're suggesting out here, but I'm always just, You know, this whole demonizing of the immigrants, you know, we don't see a whole lot. It's always this, you know, they have a funny accent. And you know what they're always talking about? They're always talking about the Hispanics. Now, you know, I live in a city here, Portland, Oregon, where we have a lot of immigrants. I meet all sorts of immigrants on our public transportation. I meet people from Eastern Europe. I meet people from Asia. Nobody ever seems to be that concerned about those illegal immigrants. And there's a few of them that are. So it's always the Mexicans, and I've got more on that coming up a little later in the show when we get to the Lunatic Fringe Award, but I just want to ask this question of the people out there, because, you know, I get this chance to talk to all of North America. Are you frightened of the immigrant crisis? Is this really a crisis, or is this just something that's being, you know, pandered to us to try to divide us against each other? Are you worried about America becoming more Hispanic, or is this just the natural order of things? We'll take your calls on that question at 866-55-77-377.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show. This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
Guess what? And the only prescription is more Belvac. I gotta have more Belvac.
Well, if you've got that kind of fever, I'm your cure, Radical Russ Belville, here at the Russ Belville Show. Phone number here is 866-5577-377. And I asked the important question about illegal immigration. Is this really the biggest issue that we're facing right now with all of our economy and healthcare and environment and education systems and the war in Iraq and all this? Are we really worried about the oncoming brown horde? And so I've got a caller on the line. Let's go to Glenn in St. Louis, Missouri. And is this a part where I say, go Mizzou?
Yeah, go Mizzou, definitely. Tonight, I can't wait to see the game.
Hey, yeah, no doubt.
The call. And, you know, I just had a couple of thoughts on this whole immigration deal. For every illegal worker that we have in this country, there's an illegal employer, and we don't hear enough from Congress or the Senate or the President about going after these illegal employers. And another thing, if Mitt Romney had concerns about illegal aliens on his house, he should have hired Union Construction Company. Chances are he wouldn't have had to worry about illegals by hiring Union.
Yeah, absolutely. Hire a union and you don't have that problem. You know, this is the thing that really bugs me. You nailed it. You totally nailed it, Glenn. This is not an illegal immigration problem. It's an illegal hiring problem. We are inviting these people into our country by giving them jobs, by giving them money. They wouldn't show up here if there wasn't work to do. And it's the same people, and this always kills me too. It's the same people I grew up with in the 80s and the 90s that were talking about right to work, and talking about, you know, how bad the unions were, and then once they dismantle the unions and all of this cheap labor comes flowing in, they blame the cheap labor. Well, if you'd have supported the unions in the first place, we could have fought against the cheap labor.
Russ, this is another assault on organized labor, and I'm no fan of the illegals coming in and driving down our wages. But who can blame somebody?
Nobody is.
I'm a union electrician. If they offered me $300 an hour to go to Canada and work in Canada, the only problem is I'd have to cross the border illegally, but if I got caught, my only punishment would be they'd send me back. Who in their right mind would turn down a chance to make 10 times what you make in the United States?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we got the same deal going on in Iraq, too, when our guys are going over there to make 10 times, you know, like a plumber going over there to Iraq to make 10 times what he'd make here in America, and we're in Iraq illegally, too, so, yeah. We are, and like I said last week on Thanksgiving, you know, the nation of America itself is just the world's biggest illegal immigration problem. I'm sure the Indians of the Northeast would have liked to have had a better immigration policy. All right, well, Glenn, thanks for your call. I got to move on here, and I want to talk just a little bit more about this whole this debate thing. And one of the things that we've got a problem with here in this country is the demonization of people that are different from us. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that and talk about what's going on with this immigration policy and some of the things that were said at the GOP debate that were actually pretty surprising about immigration. I'm Russ Belville. This is the Russ Belville Show, and that's my dog, Roscoe. We'll be right back in just a minute. Welcome back. 53 after the hour. Hey, you got a little chance there to meet my dog. That was Roscatelli, Smelly Felly, Semicolon, Pucker Butt, Nutstomper, Boob, Squisher, Sanchez, Gomez, Ramirez, Rodriguez, Coltrane, otherwise known as Roscoe the dog. And every time I talk about illegal immigration, he gets all upset about it. I don't know why. I think he had his butt kicked by a chihuahua in an earlier life or something. Let's get back to the topic here. Talking about the GOP YouTube debate that was on the other day. And, you know, in the last debate, the Democratic debate, we had to suffer through the indignity of the diamonds and pearls question. Remember that? They asked Hillary Clinton that, you know, what do you favor, diamonds or pearls? You know, and she couldn't, she wanted both. Well, here was the frivolous question from this debate.
Can you explain why you being a lifelong Yankees fan that this year after the Yankees lost everything, you rooted for the Red Sox in the postseason. Can you explain that position for me?
Yeah, it's a really simple explanation, actually. It's because he's running for president and he needs to say anything that's needed to be said to try to scrounge up votes. That's what it's all about. Can we move on to something more important, please? Yeah, questions about baseball. Come on, at least you could ask a question about a real sport. Anyway, let's get to this question. This is one that I thought was a really good showdown. And, you know, I spend all this time and I collect these clips, I do all this research, and every time I dig deeper and deeper into the onion skin layers of the Republican Party, there's just more and more disgusting things to find. But every now and then you find something sensible. You find something that you can go, yeah, I can buy that. And this came in a scuffle here between Mitt Romney, you know, multiple choice Mitt, and John McCain, a certified war hero, God bless him, certified war hero, suffered at the Hanoi Hilton, kept as a POW and tortured for over 5 years. And so the question came in on the YouTube debate that said, well, since McCain was the only one who's ever actually suffered under torture, what a right do the rest of you guys have to be talking about whether or not we should be waterboarding people? And it went to Romney first, and Romney gave the standard Bushian double-speak answer about waterboarding.
I oppose torture. I would not be in favor of torture in any way, shape, or form.
Is waterboarding torture?
And as I just said, as a presidential candidate, I don't think it's wise for us to describe specifically which measures we would and would not use.
Is that the stupidest answer you've heard? I mean, it was stupid coming out of Bush's face, and it's just as stupid coming out of Romney's helmet hair. We can't discuss what we would or wouldn't do because that would give our enemy some sort of advantage. So let me ask, Mitt, if we were to tie one of our enemies to a stake and burn them alive, would that be okay? Or should we not discuss that because we don't want them to know what we may or may not do? How about shoving bamboo shoots under their fingernails and whipping them with a lash? Is that something we would or would not do? Or maybe we shouldn't discuss that because we don't want to give them any hints. This is the stupidest, most ridiculous spin on torture. First of all, we got to stop calling it waterboarding. We should call it the drowning board because we're drowning people. They keep saying in the media, they keep saying it simulates drowning. That's BS. It is drowning. They put you on your back on a board that is slanted downwards, put a cloth over your face, pour water on your face until you are forced to inhale water. That is drowning. Okay, it's controlled drowning. They stop you just sort of dying, but it's drowning. And we prosecuted Japanese for doing this to our soldiers back in World War II. So I just want to go out on this segment with what I found, which was a total gem. You know, John McCain had the best line of the night with this statement. And then after the break, I'll play you the worst line of the night. But here is John McCain with the best line of the GOP debate.
Well, Governor, I'm astonished that you haven't found out what waterboarding is.
I know what waterboarding is, Senator.
Then I am astonished that you would think such a torture would be inflicted on anyone in our who we are held captive, and anyone could believe that that's not torture. It's in violation of the Geneva Conventions. It's in violation of existing law. And, Governor, let me tell you, if we're going to get the high ground in this world and we're going to be America that we've cherished and loved for more than 200 years, we're not going to torture people. We're not going to do what Pol Pot did. We're not going to do what's being done to Burmese monks as we speak. And I suggest that you talk to retired military officers and active duty military officers like Colin Powell and others. And how in the world anybody could think that that kind of thing could be inflicted by Americans on people who are held in our custody is absolutely beyond me.
Absolutely. Hear, hear, hear from the Russ Belville Show to John McCain. Thank you for being the voice of common sense and experience. This is the Russ Belville Show. We're back after the break with a look at religion in the GOP politics and the family values of Rudy 9/11 Giuliani. We'll be right back.
Here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
For a long time, I used a lot of guns, including carrying a .45 as a pilot flying in combat over Vietnam. I know how to use guns. I don't own one now.
I am a little surprised the mayor says, you know, everybody's responsible for everybody that they hire. But we'll have to address that a little bit further later. I think we've all had people, probably, that we have hired that... In retrospect, probably is a bad decision.
Hi, this is Tyler Oakman from Memphis, Tennessee, and I have a quick question for those of you who would call yourselves Christian conservatives. The death penalty. What would Jesus do?
Jesus was too smart to ever run for public office, Anderson. That's what Jesus would do.
Ah, yeah. It's good to know that Mike Huckabee knows what Jesus would do. He's got a direct line to him, I understand. We'll play that clip a little bit later. I'm Russ Belville. Welcome to the Russ Belville Show. 2 hours of live political progressive talk coming at you from the upper left corner of the free speech zone we call America, otherwise known as Little Beirut to the Bush family. Portland, Oregon, of course, is what I'm talking about. And this is our chance to take our country back one person at a time, return us to our progressive roots. You and me and all the rest of us radicals out there. You know, there's no more radical act that was ever taken in human history than when our founding fathers turned to the rest of the world and said, we don't need a king. We don't need a god to run our country. We can run our country ourselves. We the people. And that's what this show is about. We the people. So if you want to get involved and make your voice heard all across North America on the XM satellite, as well as terrestrial stations across the land, the phone number here is 866-5577-377. And the email address, radicalruss@gmail.com. And speaking of the intertubes, if you get a chance also, take a look at the website. My website is radicalrust.net. Got all sorts of opinions and clips there that I can't get time to do on the show. For my listeners down there in Texas, you can read my review of the Packers-Cowboys game and how your team cheated. well, this isn't a sports show. Let's get on with the politics here. Those of you who have been listening to the show for a while realize that every show, at the top of the second hour, I begin with a little award.
The lunatic is on the grass.
Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the Guano Loco neocon chicken hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban. And the cable news punditocracy. The Russ Belville Show presents
the
Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most ignorant, hateful, or bizarre quote of the week. And for this week's Lunatic Fringe Award, I've disqualified all the Republican candidates on the GOP YouTube debate because then this segment would be much longer. So just the other GOP gadflies out there that have said something stupid this week. So we're going to start with one of the godfathers of the conservative movement, one of these long-time Hall of Famers. This is Pat Buchanan. You all know about Pat Buchanan, right? Pat Buchanan here, he's got a new book out, of course, where he's talking about the invading brown menace, the horde of Hispanics that are coming here to take our jobs. Yeah, they, you know, blowing it all out of proportion. You know, when they do surveys and they ask the American people what are the most important issues leading up to this election, immigration doesn't even crack the top 10. You know, it's things like childcare, healthcare, education, environment, terrorism, the economy, et cetera, et cetera. immigration doesn't even hardly crack the top there. 96% of the people surveyed don't even put it in the top three. So Pat Buchanan shows up on the Hannity and Colm show on the Fox Noise channel there, and is talking about his book, and Hannity asks him some questions here about the invasion of these illegal immigrants.
You say we are on a path of national suicide. I want to ask this question directly, because you say it's a day of reckoning. Do you really believe that America, the country we all love as we know it, is in jeopardy of existing?
Here's what I think. I think America may exist, but I'll tell you this. I do believe we're going to lose the American Southwest. I think it is almost inevitable. If we do not put a fence on that border,
I agree with
you're going to have 100 million Hispanics in the country, most of them new immigrants from Mexico, which believes that belongs to them.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that? All those Hispanic people moving into the Southwest who think that land belongs to them? Can you imagine? I mean, places like Alamogordo, Amarillo, Casa Grande, Chico, Corpus Christi, El Paso, El Dorado, Escondido, Las Cruces, Los Angeles, Las Lunas, Paso Robles, Sacramento, Salinas, San Angelo, San Antonio, San Bernardino, San Francisco, San Isidro, Santa Cruz, Santa Fe, Santa Maria, Santa Rosa, Sierra Vista, Sonora, and Temecula, all overrun with Spanish-speaking people? Oh my gosh! Oh, Dios mío! You know, you got to hear the hidden racism in what these guys are saying. When you heard Hannity say that part about, you know, will America exist as we know it, right? What they're saying is, will America exist where all of us upper-class, white, rich, straight, Christian guys are in charge? Will the America exist where English is the dominant culture and English, white English American culture is the dominant culture? And maybe not. Maybe it won't be that way in 50 years based on the demographic trends. Who cares? That's not what America's about. What these guys fail to understand is the idea of America. The idea of America is that we can all be Americans. It doesn't matter our language, our creed, our color, our religion. We can all share the ideals that all men are created equal and that we are a country that lives by the rule of law. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what country you came from. You can be a part of this country. Every time we've had a major wave of immigration, be it legal or illegal, in this country, it has always led to a better situation for everyone in this country. We are better because of our diversity, not in spite of it. Last I checked on the Statue of Liberty, it didn't say, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, but not all of them, and especially if they don't speak English. I don't remember seeing that on the Statue of Liberty. But that's not our winner. No. Pat Buchanan, he's only the first one. He's not even our winner today. We go to our second candidate, who's one of these right-wing radio hosts that I'm competing with here on our talk radio dials. This is a cat named Neil Bortz. Neil Bortz. That's hard to say. Anyway, Neil Bortz is talking about Barack Obama. And Barack Obama had a quote, I think it was a week ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, somebody had asked him about the American flag pin, right? Whether or not you're going to have an American flag on your lapel to show how patriotic you are. And he got on the phone, it was one of his callers to his radio show, and this is them talking about Barack Obama not wearing a flag pin on the lapel of his suit.
Maybe the reason he doesn't wear a U.S. flag on his lapel is because the U.S. flag, regardless of what he thinks, the flag of this country irritates a lot of Democrat voters.
Democrat voters, not Democratic, right? Democrat, that's their slur, right? Yes, Neil, yes. Yes, Neil, you got it. You nailed this. We Democrats are irritated by the flag. Yeah, like when neocon liberty-hating chicken hawks like yourself wrap yourself in the flag. Yeah, we're irritated by that. When you use the flag to disguise your cowardly, torture-loving, constitution-thrashing, corporate-pandering, Bible-thumping ideology, yes, that's when we're irritated by the flag. Surprisingly, though, it seems that most of our elected politicians actually served that flag in the United States military, and all the guys on your side, both the elected ones and the ones behind the microphone, Rush Limbaugh, I'm looking at you, got deferments when they had their chance to serve the flag. But that's not even our winner today, no. No, not Pat Buchanan, not Neil Bortz. For our winner today, we have to go to the most trusted name in Paris news, Campbell Brown on CNN. Now, Campbell Brown's their newest anchor chick, anchor woman, anchor head, whatever you want to call them, on CNN. And also turns out that she's the wife of a former Bush spokesman named Dan Senor. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. S-E-N-O-R, Senor. So she's connected to a guy who was one of Bush's main men, one of Bush's big spokesmen. And so she had a special that was on Senor. Oh, thank you. Got Ricky Champagne behind the board there telling me it's pronounced Senor. Okay. So Dan Senor, she's his wife. And she had this show on CNN just the other day about political ads and how the negative ads affect the campaigns. And listen to Campbell Brown as she comes out and equates those of us on the left who oppose the war with terrorists.
General David Petraeus made his reputation taking on insurgents in Iraq. But when he came to Capitol Hill in September, he was confronted by American insurgents, a liberal anti-war group called MoveOn.org.
So MoveOn.org, for putting out the General Petraeus ad, for exercising their free speech that's guaranteed in freedom of the press, that's guaranteed in the First Amendment of the Constitution, for exercising their constitutional rights, they're like terrorists. They're like insurgents in Iraq. They're like violent extremists. So CNN's Campbell Brown, for exhibiting the crony connections of Bernard Kerik and the fair and balanced reporting of Sean Hannity, you're the winner of this week's Lunatic Fringe Award. Yeah, there's far too many of them out there, too. And here at the Russ Belville Show, we're going to keep our eyes on them. We're not going to let them hide. And so if you got any tips for the Lunatic Fringe Award, please send them to me at RadicalRuss@gmail.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at the religious underpinnings of the GOP party and how that is affecting their politics. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back. It's 21:22 after the hour now, and you're listening to the Russ Belville Show, live progressive political talk on the weekends. And glad to have you here. Our phone number is 866-5577-377, or you can reach us by email, radicalruss@gmail.com. I'm still talking about this GOP debate. There's just so much goodness here to be found, audio clip-wise, but also just a look at our political process in this country. And one of the things just infuriates me, trying to watch these debates and trying to find out who's going to be the leader of our country, is when we keep turning back to the questions of mythology.
I'm Joseph. I'm from Dallas, Texas. And how you answer this question will tell us everything we need to know about you. Do you believe every word of this book?
And of course, by this book, he's holding up the Bible, right? So the guy asks, that'll be everything we need to know about you, is do you believe every word of the Bible? Uh-huh. Because, you know, I was looking through the Bible the other day, and I was trying to read up what it had to say about the effect of mountaintop coal mining, where they strip mine the entire mountain off, and then the coal-producing plants, and how they produce extra pollution that ends up in our air and our water, and it ends up hurting our children. I think that was in Thessalonians, I think. Or maybe it was Corinthians. I can't remember. Come on, man. We have got to get off of this religious Jones here in this country. This is just insane, you know? My personal thing, personally, I'm a free thinker, man. I'm an atheist. I don't buy into the mythology, the mumbo jumbo. I thought about worshiping Thor, the god of thunder, for a while. Couldn't find a temple, so yeah. So the religion thing is the least interesting thing to me in the world. To me, it's like your masturbation habits. I know you probably do it. It doesn't really hurt anything, doesn't accomplish anything, but it makes you feel good. It's the last thing I want to hear about, okay? I could care less about your religious habits, okay? It's good that you have them. I fully support people's right to their religion, to believe whatever mythology they want to believe. That's fine with me. But where it starts affecting politics and where it starts becoming a religious test to hold office, that's where I got to draw the line. The Constitution is pretty clear about it. No religious tests shall be required for any office in the United States. And yet, our entire primary system is peppered with all these religious questions. Why is CNN bringing these questions in when they have nothing to do with politics? They have nothing to do with how we're going to engage policy in this country and change some of the issues. I know it's important to a lot of the Republican voters out there, but they need to get over it too. Turning to the Bible is not going to be anything that's going to help us when we're talking about the issues that affect this country. And furthermore, anybody out there who's going to tell me they believe every single word of the Bible is a stark raving idiot who doesn't understand the basics of logic, okay? I mean, some of the candidates came back with some pretty decent answers. You know, Giuliani said something to the effect of, well, I believe some of it, I believe some of it's allegorical, some of it's metaphorical. Okay, I can go with that. I mean, he says it like, I don't really believe that Jonah was in the belly of a whale or something like that. And yes, I'm with you there. But anyone who would tell me they believe every single word of the Bible as literal truth is just an idiot. I mean, you can start with the first chapter. You can start with Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, God says that humans were created after all the other animals. But in Genesis chapter 2, God says humans were created before all the other animals. So which is it? Before or after? In Genesis chapter 1, man and woman were created at the same time. But in Genesis chapter 2, man was created first, and then the animals, and then the woman off of man's rib. So which is it? I mean, you cannot believe every single word's literally true when there are stark raving contradictions like that in there. And furthermore, and then someone will say, well, you're going all Old Testament. It's not Old Testament, it's the New Testament. All right, let's go to the New Testament. When Jesus died and was allegedly resurrected and appeared unto the disciples after his resurrection, according to the book of Matthew, it says the 11 disciples went up to a mountain where Jesus appeared to them. But according to Mark, Luke, and John, they all said that Jesus appeared to him in a room in Jerusalem. So, which is it? Once again, if you say you believe every single literal word of the Bible, you're an idiot. You can tell me I'm wrong. 866-5577-377. But as far as I'm concerned here, we need to get away from these religious questions. And the thing that's really funny about this to me is how they can't even live up to their own religion that they supposedly believe. I mean, we got this question from one of the guys that called in.
Hi, this is Tyler Overman from Memphis, Tennessee, and I have a quick question for those of you who would call yourselves Christian conservatives. The death penalty. What would Jesus do?
And they all hemmed and hawed about, the death penalty, I'd have to pray to God, and it was really tough, and we need vengeance, and some crimes are so bad, and it's not the same as pro-life because little fetuses haven't committed crimes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? They never did answer the question. They never did answer the question, would Jesus implement the death penalty, which I would pretty much think probably not, but, that's the illogical question, I don't care. The other thing here, the other question, this one's a good one. This is the one having to do with abortion, okay? And check out this well-phrased question.
Hi, my name is Jenny. I'm from Texas, and this question is for all politically pro-life candidates. In the event that abortion becomes illegal and a woman obtains an abortion anyway, what should she be charged with, and what should her punishment be? What about the doctor who performs the abortion?
So all these right-wing guys, of course, none of them can get out fast enough to say how they're going to appoint conservative Supreme Court justices and overturn Roe v. Wade. And so if Roe v. Wade is overturned and abortion becomes a crime, then what kind of crime is it? The woman who's going out to get that abortion, has she just committed a crime? If she has committed a crime, what should her punishment be? Is she a murderer? Should she be punished like a murderer? Should she get the death penalty for aborting her fetus? You'll be surprised what some of the answers were here. You'd think these Christians would be pretty consistent on this, but apparently not. Apparently there's some moral wiggle room here. Apparently there's some place for moral relativism when we're talking about these Republicans. I'm Russ Belville. This is the Russ Belville Show. When we come back from the break, we'll take a look at that abortion question. Also, more Republican family values with Rudy Giuliani's Sex on the City.
Radical Russ continues. AM 620 KPOJ and 620 KPOJ.com.
202-225-3121. Let Congress know what you think. This country still is we the people. The corporations don't own it all yet. All right, let's go to the phones. Your phone calls at 866-5577-377. We're going to go all the way over here to the left coast. Paul in Ventura, California wants to talk about the drowning torture from the Spanish Inquisition. So, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ. Sorry the connection got a little bad. But, I was watching a PBS program, and it said that Japanese tortured our soldiers in World War II with waterboarding, and as a consequence, after the war, we executed them. Now, why isn't this in the press? Why aren't we asking the government about this comparison?
Yeah, it's been said a few times. I've said it on my show a couple times. I've heard it on a couple other shows, but you're right. This is getting not very much play in your mainstream media that, you know, we don't even have to go, you know, World War II, Japanese. I mean, this has been a torture all the way since, like I said, the Spanish Inquisition. If you can't understand that tying someone down and forced drowning them is some sort of torture, then you don't have the heart or the empathy necessary to be the leader of the free world.
That's right, exactly. I mean, it seems that the whole twisting of the facts and the manipulation of our language by the right wing and even the corporations, you know, I mean, it extends back to even the you know, our description of shell shock, you know, and now we call it help me out here, I forgot what it was called.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Depression or yeah, you know, some other mild term, you know, or like
mm-hmm. You know, George you Carlin know, has a great routine the, on that where he talks about
how it's the death tax. I mean, come on,
yes,
it's an
absolutely
tax. It's for wealthy people.
Yes, absolutely. Language matters. And for those of you who haven't checked out this book, go to your library, check out a book by George Lakoff. It's Lakoff, George Lakoff. It's called Don't Think of an Elephant. And it's all about framing, and it's all about the way the right wing uses language to obscure what their true goals are. They want to have something that allows people to pollute the air. They call it the Clean Skies Act. They want to do something that allows the timber companies to cut down the forests. They call it the Healthy Forests Initiative. Yeah, it's exactly what it's all about. It's all about language, and too often we let them get away with it. When we hear our own Democrats saying they're against waterboarding, I just want to pull my hair out. I want to say, look, you want to have, it's not waterboarding, it's the drowning torture. Don't fight on their playground, right? Don't fight with their words. We've got to describe it as it really is. And with tax relief, that's the other one that you mentioned, right? It used to be called, you know, used to be the idea in America that you had a responsibility to pay your taxes, and that people that tried to get out of their taxes were called tax cheats, and they were looked at as people that were shirking their responsibility, people that didn't believe in America, people that only had themselves in mind and their own bottom line in mind. So yes, Paul, absolutely, that is the situation here, and I thank you for your call. We're having some problems with your connection, so I gotta get off the line there, but yeah, thank you for that. Absolutely, think about the language that's coming out of your mouth when you're talking to people. Don't call it waterboarding. Call it the drowning torture, because that's what it is. All right, let me get back to some of the other news stories I wanted to cover here, talking about the right wing, this GOP debate, and they kept talking about these different religious issues. And I wanted to get to this question that comes up. This is always something the right wing's looking at. They can't stand the idea that women are in control of their own bodies, that women have the right to choose their own medical procedures, that if a woman wishes to terminate her pregnancy, it's no one's business but hers and her doctor's. Of course, they all want to end that and go back to the days of back alley abortions and clothes hangers. That's what they like. That's their 1950s family values for you. And so this was the question that was asked.
Hi, my name is Journey. I'm from Texas, and this question is for all clinically pro-life candidates. In the event that abortion becomes illegal and a woman obtains an abortion anyway, what should she be charged with, and what should her punishment be? What about the doctor who performs the abortion?
So the question, if a woman, if abortion's illegal, right, and you know the anti-abortion forces have always been saying that it's not a choice, it's a child, and it ends a beating heart, and it's murder. Abortion is murder. It's a holocaust. 30 million babies. It's a holocaust. They've been saying this for years, right? Okay, if it's a baby, and it's a human with as much rights as you, then a woman who would terminate that baby's life, is she not a murderer? And if she is not a murderer, then wouldn't she deserve the punishment of the murderer? Capital punishment, perhaps? Death penalty? Life in prison? Listen to some of these interesting answers. First one here from Ron Paul.
I mean, there has to be a criminal penalty for the person that's committing that crime, but I really think it's the person who commits the crime, and I think that is the abortionist.
Uh-huh. Check this one out from Law and Order's Thompson here.
and it goes to the doctor performing the abortion, not the girl or the young girl or her parents, whoever it might be.
Okay, so see, it's the woman. The woman hasn't really created a crime or committed a crime in their mind, right? Because she's just a little lady, right? She can't possibly be expected to have control over her actions and take responsibility for committing this crime. She's confused. Oh, she's confused and hurt, and we shouldn't punish the poor woman for having abortion. The doctor, he's the one that needs to go down. The filthy abortionist. Uh-huh. So under that logic then, if the woman has a child, and let's say she's 3 months along and she has an abortion, she gets off scot-free, but the doctor goes to prison. But if the woman has that baby, and it's 1 day old, and she hires somebody to kill that baby, then she would be in prison for contracting for a hit, wouldn't she? Wouldn't she be in prison for contracting for a murder? So let me get this straight. If the fetus is still in the woman, she can have it killed with no repercussions to her. But if the fetus has left the woman's body, then there are repercussions for the woman. So tell me again how fetuses are children and have all of the exact same rights as children. Because that doesn't make any logically consistent sense, does it? these wingers, man. They always accuse us of being the moral relativists. They're always saying that we are the flip-floppers, the ones that are on this hand and on the other hand, and yet they got more hands than an Indian demigod. Come on. This is crazy. And I'm just so sick of the question, okay? This is settled law. Okay, Roe v. Wade is settled law. If the first and fourth and fifth, sixth, ninth, eighth, and 14th amendments mean anything, they mean that we have a right to privacy, and we have the right to our own medical decisions. And for women, that includes the right to choose an abortion. Our phone number here is 866-5577-377. You can also send an email, radicalrus@gmail.com. We always read the emails in the last segment of the show. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about Rudy Giuliani's family values and a little bit of Sex on the City. This is the Russ Belville Show. We're right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
Welcome back, 46 after the hour, and we're going to take a look now at Rudy Giuliani's Sex on the City.
September 11th.
Well, it's September 11th and every other day, apparently.
September 11th.
Well, yeah, Rudy, you did have sex on September 11th, but on other days, too.
September 11th.
God, you're such a one-note pony there. Yeah, so this is the story that's been breaking about Rudy Giuliani out there in New York City. And turns out that he was having his affair with Judith Nathan. Now, we all know about that. This was when he was still married, right? He was married to his second wife, Donna Hanover. And while he was still married to her, he was having an affair out in the Hamptons with Judith Nathan. Okay, so there's your family values right there. Second wife, an affair, third wife. Family values. Anyway, what the scandal is here is it turns out that in the fall of 2001, while he was having this affair, he was writing off all the expenses onto various City of New York accounts. How's that feel, taxpayers in New York, that you were paying for Rudy Giuliani to do a little boinking on the side there with his mistress up in the Hamptons? That's got to feel good. Good to know your tax money is going for important purposes. This was just reported yesterday here. They pointed out that city cops had been chauffeuring his mistress, Judy Nathan, to her parents' Pennsylvania home 130 miles away. So the cops here are the chauffeur service for Rudy's mistresses. Now that's pimping. You know, pimping ain't easy. There are also some other records here show that he used City Hall funds to take himself and Judy Nathan, his mistress, his third wife now, but his mistress that he was having with his second wife, to 11 secret trysts in the Hamptons. Taxpayers were paying to ferry Nathan on long-distance trips without Giuliani. See, he's been trying to claim that, well, you know, when she was with me, of course I needed security and all that, and, well, it's just not true. It's turning out that this is getting worse and worse for Giuliani, and the more he tries to spin it, the worse it's getting. It's also been said, or been alleged here, that the the books are showing that she got all sorts of tickets for Broadway shows and Yankee games. And it was not uncommon to see her in the city with an undercover Dodge with two detectives who sometimes even helped to walk her dog. Yeah, New York taxpayers, your mayor, Rudy Giuliani, Mr. 9/11, Rudy Giuliani.
September 11th.
Yes, thank you, Rudy. Was spending your money in order to get his freak on with his mistress. Yeah, that's my kind of family values. You betcha. They say us Democrats are the perverted ones, right? Yeah, sure. So some of the money here. This was off on an American Express card, funded with money from the mayoral office, and some of the different departments he was billing included the mayor's office of people with disabilities, the community assistance unit, the assigned council of administrative office, the loft board, and the mayor's liaison to the United Nations, all of these accounts used to prepay an American Express account to the tune of $60,000. Yeah, 60 grand for your little tryst. 60 grand for Rudy Giuliani to get his freak on in the Hamptons off of the taxpayer's dime. I wonder how you feel about that, Americans. I wonder how you feel about that, New Yorkers. Let me know sometime. Send me an email, radicalruss@gmail.com. When we come back from our next break, it's our last segment of the show, so as usual, we'll be taking a look at some of the listener emails, so you might get lucky, hear your words all across North America. This is the Russ Belville Show, live on the weekends.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
He's absolutely right. That's me. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Radical Russ coming at you from Portland, Oregon, on the free speech zone we call America. Want to give a shout out and a thanks to Earl in Ann Arbor, Glenn in St. Louis, and Paul in Ventura for calling into the show and letting your opinions be known. And at this point of the show, as usual, Bloody Vikings. Yeah, this is our spam segment, the time we go over the listener emails here to radicalruss@gmail.com. First of all, I want to let you know that if you like good political cartoons, you got to check out my website, radicalruss.net. I got a guy here from Oregon named Keith Tucker who makes a cartoon series called What Now Tunes, and it's a weekly cartoon on the latest issues. This one this week has to do with the government requiring some of our injured soldiers to repay their signing bonuses. So check that out at radicalrust.net. But for our first email, I want to go to Dana. This is an email from Dana in Oregon. It says, Dear Russ, I'm a middle-aged Oregon Republican who really likes your show. Well, it's nice to know I got Republicans listening. Thank you. Since 9/11, I have gradually lost all trust and confidence in my own party, being truly concerned with outdated issues like individual freedom, national sovereignty, truth, justice, etc. Yeah, you know, Dana, that's something I've been saying, too. I come from Idaho. I'm originally from Idaho, grew up surrounded by Republicans. And, you know, most of the Republicans I know aren't on board with all this Bush neocon junk. They're not. They are the Western Republicans that I've known. The libertarian types are all about individual rights and limited government and fiscal restraint and detachment from foreign affairs unless absolutely necessary. He goes on, Dana, I don't know if that's female or male, but Dana goes on to say that, you know, lists a bunch of points that are troubling here in this country that we go over all the time about the possibilities of martial law and corporate party and all of that, and just says the Dems aren't going to do anything about it. And the follow-up, the ending sentence here, in short, while I agree with much that I hear on progressive radio, I have come to the conclusion that the top-tier Democratic candidates are either what I always thought them to be, weak, or they are just the good cop to the Republicans' bad cop, but still a corporate cop. Uh-huh. Thank you for that email, Dana. I You know, I agree with a lot of that, and I'm glad to hear that there's Republicans out there listening to the show. You know, we can have a lot that we can agree on here. There are a lot of things about this country that Republicans and Democrats, liberals, progressives, conservatives, libertarians, we can find common ground, but you're not going to find it from the uniter. You're not going to find that from Bush and his administration. They're all about power and shooting down anybody that would get in the way of interfering with that power. Now, one more email that I'd wanted to get to here. This was from Pat. Pat sent me, oh, I'm sorry, not Pat, excuse me, Eileen. Eileen from San Antonio sent me an email, and I talked about gun rights in the last show and talked about the Second Amendment and how I always ask, well, if you want to carry a gun, what well-regulated militia do you belong to? And Eileen writes back to says, here's what are well-regulated militias. The National Guard, the police, the sheriffs, the Coast Guard, Port Authority, Airport Security, FBI, CIA, Armored Car Personnel, Bank Security, School Security, Post Office, etc., etc., etc. And that's an interesting point, but, you know, I still think that the Second Amendment being put amongst all the other Bill of Rights that are individual rights, I still think that that means that we have an individual right to keep and bear arms. I do think that the state should be allowed to come up with some sort of good regulation for keeping and bearing arms, but it's not a militia right. It's a personal right. This is the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives. Again, check out the website, RadicalRuss.net. Send me an email, RadicalRuss@gmail.com. We'll be here again next weekend, same bat time, same bat channel. For everyone and Roscoe the dog, I'm Radical Russ. Take it easy and have yourself a great weekend, and go Ducks.